You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I am happy to be with you each and every week as we talk about the important issues that so many churches must face each and every day. Thank you for continuing to help share our podcast with others, and let's just dive right into today's topic, which is a continuation of the podcast series that we started last week, which was Worship Servant was the title I gave the podcast series. And today we're going to talk about serving God. Last week we talked about what it meant to be a servant versus just a leader. And this week we're going to talk about what does it mean to serve God as a worship leader, as a pastor, or as someone who's been given a responsibility over worship in your church. It seems like today would be a no-brainer. Today's podcast would be a no-brainer. Serving God, that's pretty simple. Isn't that what we do each and every day that we get up, each and every day that we go to work? Well, yes and no. That may be true, but then again, there are a lot of things that we may do that don't necessarily serve God. We just serve in the name of God, as it were, which is not the same thing as serving God. I can remember many times being faced as a leader with a call or a question about doing something in the church and really wondering, okay, how exactly does this activity serve God? Many times we include things in our worship services perhaps that are not necessarily worship related, but we include them in the worship service because in some respects our worship service doubles as an event, as a gathering time for the church, which we've talked about and which is very positive. And certainly does not necessarily mean that it doesn't serve God, because if it serves the church, is it serving God? These are the kinds of questions we have to ask when we're looking at serving God. And you may ask, okay, so how do I know? When we're asked to do things, let's say, for example, on a patriotic scale, what about Christmas? I mean, we know that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus, but what about all the commercial stuff that we throw in there? There's a lot of things that we do during the year, and sometimes even on an every Sunday basis. For instance, announcements. How exactly do announcements serve God? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever made that argument? I'm not saying that they don't. I actually think that announcements can serve God, because I believe that announcements definitely serve the church. But, if we don't ask ourselves that specific question, if we don't really look at the role of announcements in the worship service, that may or may not be serving God. So I want to give you a three-step process to try to organize your leadership to be sure that you are serving God and that you are bringing your best to God before God. And that what we do ultimately in our worship services is for God. So number one is Bible study. Pretty simple. What are you doing to study the Word? What are you doing to read the Word? How are you investing yourself into the Word of God? You know, the Word of God is the only place where we really truly hear what God has to say to us. Reading commentaries, reading books, all of those things are wonderful as we hear what really smart people have to say about the Word of God. But ultimately, it's when we hear the words of God for ourselves that we can best hear the voice of God, even though, again, we may hear it from someone else. And I have a whole lot of metaphors and analogies and stories that I could use for this, but I'm going to leave this one just plain right up in front of you. What are you doing to study the Word of God in Bible study? You may be in a small group. You may be in a Bible study. You may read the Bible on your own, but are you actively digging into the Word of God or are you just kind of winging it off based off of what you've learned in past readings, back when you used to go to Sunday school or when you took a Bible class, and so you're kind of relying on what you learned in your Bible class? When was the last time you read the Word? When was the last time you tried to read through the Bible? When was the last time you really dove in to Scripture? I do want to recommend a book for worship leaders, a Bible for worship leaders, which I truly enjoy, and it's not, it's actually not published anymore, but there are still copies out there. I actually personally own 4 copies and would be more than happy if someone hears this and would like to get a copy of it. I'd be more than happy to get you one of my copies. But it's called the Praise and Worship Bible. It's actually the Praise and Worship Study Bible. It's both hardback and softback. And you can find this in a lot of different places, on eBay, of course, used bookstores. They range anywhere from a few dollars to a lot of money, because somebody feels like they've got something in their hands that's really worth something. But I would recommend it. It's the Praise and Worship Bible. I wish they still published it, but they don't. It has wonderful annotations in it that really focus on what God says about worship, what people have said about worship, and they put it in the context and around the scriptures, the most relevant scriptures, when it deals with a particular subject. So it's a great place to start if you're looking for, or maybe it's a great place to rediscover the Bible if you're looking for a Bible that really kind of opens the doors for you when it comes to worship leadership. The next thing that I want to recommend, next step that I recommend, is prayer. Now, you will hear me in every single, basically, I think prayer is a cure for everything. If you listen to my podcast or read my articles, I include prayer in every single aspect of being a worship leader, being a leader of any type in a church. I think prayer is essential. And having a healthy prayer life and having more than just a casual prayer life, more than just a I pray when I feel like God is leading me to pray, but more of a I pray on purpose. I have a schedule. I have a set schedule. This is when I pray. This is what I pray for. These are the days that I focus on this type of prayer. These are the days I focus on that type of prayer. The more, I believe, the more structured you can make your prayer life, the more productive your prayer life can be. Not because I think we need to limit God to our structures, but I think we need the structure in order to be our best in prayer. It's too easy to just get into a prayer time and just kind of wing it and end up praying for the same things over and over again. We need to actively work to expand our prayer life. And I hope that you already have a healthy prayer life, but if you don't, I would encourage you to really expand that prayer life so that you can, through the reading of Scripture and the combination of reading of Scripture and prayer, you can really begin to hear from God and make sure that the things that you're doing as a worship leader and that you're doing as a church leader are in service to God. And then the last thing I want to mention to you is, what are the things that you are doing as a worship leader that are strictly for God and not necessarily for you or for anybody else? Maybe they don't necessarily happen on the stage. Maybe it is you serving God by being present for your family. Maybe it is so that, you're not always at rehearsal. You're not always at the church. You're practicing family care. And you're discussing it with church leaders and pastors. I'm going to encourage you, if you are not demonstrating family care to your congregation and to your staff especially, then they're going to have a really hard time, finding a time to do family care because they're not seeing it demonstrated and they don't feel like there's permission for it. So family care is one. Self-care is one. What are you doing for self-care? And I'm not just talking about vacation time. I'm talking about revitalization. I'm talking about time away from necessarily the desk and the worship planning and finding something else to do for God. What are you doing to reconnect relationships and build relationships with people who raise you up and people who nurture you and encourage you? That type of self-care, I believe that is serving God, because you cannot be who God has called you to be if you're constantly dealing with a devastated personality or a devastated personal life. I've experienced this time and time again, and in my own career and in my own ministry, and in my own conversations with other worship leaders who will describe burnout. And the first thing I look at when I hear burnout is almost always it is a lack of self-care. It's a lack of time away from the job or a time focused on something God-oriented, but that isn't necessarily the job, isn't necessarily the ministry. It's something unrelated. I know that this past Thanksgiving, my wife and I went and served food at a local senior center to those who were less fortunate, who were not going to be able to enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner without somebody helping them out. And that's self-care, and it's serving God, and it's serving others. It was self-care because it was not, I wasn't singing for them. I didn't have to pick any music. I wasn't running the event. All I did was show up and volunteer, and somebody else told me what to do. I ended up picking up trash and cleaning tables, and it was great. And I got to meet people and hear their stories. It was a wonderful time of truly self-care, because it was not me being a leader, it was me being a servant. And so serving God is, again, going back to the word servant. What are you doing as a servant for God? And I know it's so easy to say, oh, well, my ministry is my service to God. Well, okay, that's great. But the problem is that your work. What else are you doing in service? What gift are you giving above your tithe, as far as your time goes? So reading your Bible, digging into the Word, and really hearing God's words as God gave them to us, a time of prayer, structured time of prayer to really hear God's voice and be able to have a conversation with God and tell God what you're thinking and hear from God what God is thinking, and then serving God by not doing your ministry, but doing other things such as family care and self-care and caring for others. This type of service that gets you outside of the worship servant role and puts you into a servant role of another kind. And some people will say, well, what does this have to do with worship? Well, I truly believe that everything that we do is an act of worship. I was once told that the Jewish perspective of worship is it's a life lived 24/7, 365, and it's a life of worship. Everything that we do in our life is an act of worship, and I believe that. I believe that everything that we do shows God what we think of God, who we think God is, how much we love God. It's an act of worship. All of that is an act of worship. So if our actions are an act of worship, then being a servant of God means really examining our actions and digging into our actions. And it's more than just the ministry that we do every Sunday or every week. It's the things that we do outside of that. And so I hope that you'll take these three steps and really examine how are you serving God in your ministry and in your own life, so that you can be the worship servant that God has called you to be. Because when we're serving God outside of our leadership, then we're more likely to be servant leaders when we're in our leadership role. But if we're not serving God outside of our leadership, if we're not taking on roles of service outside of our leadership position, then it's much more difficult to be a servant first when we are actually being called on to be a leader. So that's our stuff for today. Hope that you got something out of that, and I hope that you'll share it with others. Remember, we have some big announcements coming up about the Worship on Purpose workshop series. I hope that you're getting excited about that, and I hope that you will start spreading the word that this is coming. Next week, when we get together, we're going to talk about serving the pastors, the leadership in our teams, serving the others that are in ministry in our church. What does that look like? And how do we best make that happen? So until then, I hope you have a great Christmas time. And as you're coming into this Advent season, as you're planning your concerts and everything else that you're doing, I know you're super, super busy. I hope that you found this few minutes as a word of encouragement, and that you will continue to look and see for those opportunities for service as a leader. Until next time, God bless you. I'm praying for you, and feel free to reach out to me if you need anything at all. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at purposedheartministries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.